Paranormal Perception is a full-bodied apparition summoned by 22 Creations Multimedia LLC. You've found it. Your guide through the unknown. Artificial intelligence, cryptozoology, disclosure, parapsychology,
a world of shadows.
It is called the unknown for a reason.
I see you.
This is your guide through the new normal for the new decade. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel. Close your eyes. Open your ears and your mind. This is your new perception on the paranormal. Here's your host, Henry San Miguel. And here I am. Welcome to Paranormal Perception. First of all, a couple of things I gotta talk to you guys about. One is give you a big thank you. Thank you because for the premiere episode for Paranormal Perception last week, you guys did a lot of downloads, number one, but especially a lot of emails. And you can email me, by the way, paranormalperception2@gmx.com. I have another one. I may start giving that one up, but for now, you can use paranormalperception2@gmx.com. A lot of you found it on the website, and you got a hold of me that way. You really enjoyed, and I could tell by the downloads, you really enjoyed last week's topic of disclosure, because as we mentioned, and a lot of you that listen to Paranormal Perception, you're very much aware that we are in a countdown to disclosure. Supposed to fall this year on June 25th. Whether it's going to happen, or I mean, you heard from Stephen Bassett last week and Darcy Weir, but from Stephen Bassett, who, if disclosure does happen, you'll see him, you'll hear from him during these hearings. Yeah, I know. I get it. Part of it is it's his job. It's what he does. It's what he's been doing for decades now, pushing for disclosure. Now that it looks like it's going to happen, I didn't want to get into it on the show. We could have gone 5 hours, but I didn't want to get on the show. But I'll say it here, and I said it to a lot of you over email. I'll share it generally here with the rest of the listening audience. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I really don't, because If you've listened to Paranormal Perception and what it started becoming last year as the lockdowns went on, as the pandemic went on, the lockdown went from a month to 2 months to the whole year now, and who knows how long it's going to continue. I kept saying, and so did some of the guests that kept saying, there's more to this than just being cautious over a pandemic. A lot of it is control. And you've obviously seen that, I'll include myself in that because really we have no choice. We've given it up too easy, I'll put it that way. And, you know, it came to a boiling point. We saw it on January 6th, what happened at the Capitol. You see, I just got a press release, an email from somebody, from a potential guest to Paranormal Perception. They're talking about it, and they use the word domestic terrorists storm the Capitol on January 6th. And I didn't say anything, but in my head I'm thinking, really? So because of that, I've said, not on Paranormal Perception, on the other show, ironically, on the Geek Speak show, so the season finale there, my quote-unquote predictions for what's coming with media and, you know, pop culture and everything, I said I thought we were about to enter the most restrictive period we've seen in this country. Yeah, I hate being right, but I was right. I mean, not even an entire month, not even a full day into the new administration, and already we are seeing cries of censor, silence. Unity, but silence. So, for that reason, I don't think disclosure is going to happen. It doesn't matter that it's matter of fact, it's because of who signed that disclosure. President Trump, the most loved president ever in history. Yeah, that's sarcasm if you can't tell. But you see this new president, he's undoing everything that President Trump did. So this is included in that. This is the disclosure countdown. It's included in that. So why wouldn't he undo that also? And if you're saying, well, you know, that's not very a positive thing. No, it is positive. I'm positive that because it's something that Trump did, this president is going to undo it. So for that reason alone, dumb reason, I know, but for that reason alone, I don't think disclosure is going to happen. I hope it does. If it does, yeah, like Steven and I discussed last week, it's going to be the biggest world. I mean, I know it's going to start with us, with the Americans, with the Yankees over here, but it's going to be a world-changing event, humanity-changing event. It definitely is going to move us to the next level, as the kids say. Whatever that next level is going to be, I really don't know. But I will say, I must say, I do agree with Steven, what he said when I asked him, how do you think people, normal people, not people like you listening to me, to Paranormal Perception, those of us who already were thinking outside of the box, I'll put it, before 2020 and all this happened, not them, not you guys. I'm talking about normal people who, yeah, they may watch this stuff. They only care about a ghost in October, but other than that, they just go about their lives. How will they react when they can't put their head in the sand about it because it will be everywhere? I think they'll be okay. I think it will be wow, it's real? Cool. I don't think it's going to lead to civil unrest or people jumping up. And it might, but, you know, again, Darwinism, I'll put it that way. But in general, I don't think it's going to lead to the end of the world or anything changing. Not drastically. I really don't. I don't think that. But again, we got to get to the first part, which is disclosure. And again, will it happen? Well, just judging by the way this administration is going, just in the first day and a half and a few hours going as I'm recording this, no, I don't think it's going to happen. You don't think so? You don't think it's going to happen? I mean, look how they reacted to something as simple as, hey, there's a virus going around. Let's tell everybody to wear masks without really any science behind it, whether it actually works or not. Let's give them a vaccine, a couple of vaccines, and not really tell them what's in it, but just hurry up and put them in there. And let's tell them this. I mean, how quick were we to go ahead and give them that control? Yeah. So you really think it can't happen? Yeah, it'll happen. It's been happening. And because of that, what won't happen, at least I don't even think so, is disclosure. Paranormal Perception. We'll be right back.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Paranormal Perception continues.
Wanted to use that one again because, yeah, like I just said at the top, we, not us, our government, under pressure for disclosure. And I think we're going to have Stephen Bassett on again because, you know, it's a topic that, like I said, you guys loved it. The emails tell me that. The downloads tell me that. So we'll definitely cover it again. Now, I said last year, Paranormal Perception changed for obvious reasons. 2020, it's a lot to say. You know what I mean by that when I say that now. So this episode, you're going to like it because it's going to go back to what paranormal used to mean, which meant talking about ghosts, talking about the other side, talking about the unknown. Like I said, paranormal became the normal as of 2020. So that's why Paranormal Perception, it changed as far as the guests, the sound of it. But this episode, we're going to go back to ghosts, to investigating haunted locations. And they were a follower of mine, but, you know, honestly, I don't know why. I'm not even going to try to make up a reason why. I really don't know why. And there's a lot of you that way that you've been following the Paranormal Perception Instagram or on the website, and I sometimes I just can't get to every single one of you. But finally, I started going through some of the new followers, and I one of them was Two Realm, the number Two Realm Paranormal. It's a mother-daughter team, and like their description says, they're a mother-daughter paranormal research team who strive to help the living and the dead. You can watch their investigations on their YouTube channel, which is Two Realm Paranormal, and follow them on the Instagram, same name. And like always, I have everything linked up on the show description. You guys can just click on there. On the talk about it is Sabrina from Two Realm Paranormal. Sabrina, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So like I said, I just started learning about you guys and what you do, you and your mom. But let's go back and start there with that story. Is you both say on the Instagram and on the YouTube channel, you're both gifted. So talk about how, number one, your mom, I'm assuming, knew before you. But when did you start figuring out, hey, I have this gift? And how did all that happen?
Well, I was born with it. We actually have a hereditary line where my great-great-grandmother was a Cherokee chief's daughter, and she was gifted. My great-grandmother was gifted and spoke to spirits. And then, of course, it went down to my grandmother and then my mother and handed off to me. What I am is an empath. I am a sensitive. I'm an intuitive. And I am a, for lack of better term, psychic death doula. So, and my mother is a sensitive and an empath.
Yeah, that last one, I know what it is now that you explained it, but there's maybe some people wondering, like, what does that mean, that the last one? Explain again what you mean by the last one.
The death doula?
Yeah.
There are two different types of death doula. There are those that, you know, work in hospice and work in hospitals, and they help people get all their affairs in line. They try to make the passing of someone as easy as possible. Like, if someone has terminal and they know that they're going to die, they help them with affairs in order. They say their last goodbyes. Anything that they need to tie up at the end, they help them do that. And then there's the other doula, which sometimes is called a death midwife. We're more of the psychic part of it, helping literally the spirit cross over. And I mean, I've done it a couple times with people that were living and didn't even know it. And honestly, it scared the heck out of me. I honestly felt like I was killing people because I'm helping these people move over, and I had no idea. And what I did was I helped them say goodbye. And then I actually can do this with spirits too. There's one story I have that is of a colonel. He was a POW, and he was literally tortured to death in a POW camp. He ended up coming home with me from a museum. And I had this amazing experience of getting to reunite this man with his family on the other side. I also got to do that with a little girl recently that had also come home with me. It's one of the most rewarding experiences anyone, I think, with a psychic ability could ever have. But it's also one of the saddest. It's very overwhelming. It's a very surreal kind of feeling when you do that.
Yeah.
And I have headaches for days. I'm super emotional for days, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, I can imagine how emotional it can get. We were actually talking about that a little bit before we started recording, but I was going to ask you more, but I decided to hold it till we actually hit record on. So now that we are, I was kind of aware of that, but is that something new that hospices are doing? Because before it was very, I don't want to call it cold, black and white. You just go there, take care of the patient, and that's it. But there was very little of the spiritual side, especially helping them cross over. I mean, I know that's their job, but it wasn't to the extent that you're saying. So is this something new that hospices are doing now?
I don't think the hospitals are doing any of the psychic part of it. I think they're just doing the physical part of it. I know that they've had death doulas and death midwives in hospitals for quite a few years. And when I found out that I was a death doula, it was about 6 years ago. And it had already been a pretty big thing starting to happen in hospitals and hospices.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, that was something new when you mentioned it a few minutes ago. So that's what I actually want to know more about it now. So that, I think maybe you're gonna have to come back and talk just about that on a future episode. But what I was gonna ask you is, I think you're kind of answering it without directly answering it now, because I was gonna ask you because most people that I know, I haven't had them on the show. Well, one of them actually was my paranormal consultant, Doug Carnahan. Rest in peace now. But he kept his kids away from the paranormal, the other side, mainly because he ended up dealing with a lot of dark entities, so that he wanted to protect them. Your mom looks like, sounds like, obviously she didn't keep you away from it. I mean, what was her initial reaction, and how did that happen? When you did you go to her, or did she explain to you that, hey, this runs in our family, so you might have this gift?
We just kind of stumbled upon it. When I was a kid, I would be able to know that there were spirits around. And the funniest story I can possibly think of is my imaginary friend. His name was Roddy. And she thought that I was a typical kid with imaginary friends. But what I was really seeing was this like late 30s, 40-year-old man. And he was always really sweet to me. He wasn't creepy or anything like that. I blamed everything on him, of course, as an imaginary friend. But she thought that it was an imaginary friend. We knew that my grandmother was seeing things in the house, and she knew that my great-grandmother had spoken with ghosts. She tried to move spirits on. And my mom and I were sitting here talking, and we pretty much just kind of came to the conclusion, okay, wait a minute, we're both just not telling each other what's going on. It was 2 years ago I told her about that first story with the imaginary friend, and she still to this day is like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe my daughter's imaginary friend was a 40-year-old man. It creeps her out.
Yeah.
The look on her face was hilarious.
Although, but, I mean, I've got to ask you this, because I actually never, we've all heard this before, listeners and myself and you, obviously, you went through it, but... most kids, they have an imaginary friend, or they blame things on imaginary friends. As a parent, though, being one myself, I'm wondering this: as a parent, how do you know that it's an actual person, like you as a 40-year-old man? But how do you know it's an actual person and not just the kid's overactive imagination?
I would think if there's anything else going on in the house. I mean, kids are naturally psychic. I mean, kids are born with a gift. And we shut that down as we get older, mm-hmm. out of fear, out of stress and anxiety, and just growing up and having to push that stuff aside. But kids are naturally psychic. I tend to, when I hear of a kid having an imaginary friend, question it naturally because I'm in paranormal research. But I think if there's anything else that a parent is noticing in the house, then definitely there's something there. Ask the kid, you know, what does your friend look like? How old are they? Because nobody ever asked me those things.
Yeah.
If I would have told my mom this is a grown man, she would have flipped out right there. But I think if a parent sits down and talks to their kid about it, that's going to be the way to find out. If their child is seeing an adult, or they're seeing somebody that is like dressed in like Victorian clothing, or another child that's dressed and looks strange to them, it doesn't look like the normal thing, then chances are it's a spirit.
Yeah.
It's like, don't count your kid out right away. Don't automatically think imaginary friend. Talk to them about it first.
Yeah.
That's one of the things.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
realm deals a lot with kids.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd say the obvious would be, you know, it's a family member that's been long gone, long before the child was even born, and they're describing grandma or great-grandma exactly how she looked like. How would the kid know? She never knew her. So that would be an obvious sign also.
Exactly. And most parents don't, they just automatically think it's an imaginary thing in the kid's head. They want something to blame it on, or, you know, they're feeling lonely. Or you have to ask them. Ask him if it looks like grandma and get the description from them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure you've heard of stories like, and everybody's heard of stories like this where they say, the kid says, I see somebody or somebody visits my room, and you just, the parent just shrugs it off. Yeah, okay, nice, whatever. But then you're going through family albums and like, hey, that's the person that comes to my room. Is like, what? How did you know that? So those are the obvious ones. I think honestly, as parents, our first reaction to anything is protect. So at first, okay, you have an imaginary friend, but then the next one would be, well, what if it's evil? What if it's bad? I mean, I don't know if you agree with this or not. Investigators that I had on the show over the years, they've all said, just because it's a spirit from the other side, it doesn't automatically mean that it's evil or a demon. It's very rare to have demonic experiences. That's what I've learned from people over the years. So, I mean, that would be obviously the parents' first reaction. It's something bad, but put that aside. And like Sabrina is saying, ask the kid. You know, what does he or she look like? Who is it? Is it a dog? What it could be? So it's not always bad. Is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Demons are extremely rare.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'll know when it's a demon. There'll be no doubt when it's something not good. So let's go back to you guys' story. When did you both decide, well, you know what, let's do investigations? Or because you also on the Instagram, you say you have a 29 years experience, your mom a little bit more than you, obviously. Back then, it wasn't like now, where today there's TV shows, you can go on YouTube, like you guys' channel. There's books, there's all kinds of material out there that can show you how to begin investigating what you do, what you don't do, a right way, the wrong way. And there are right and wrong ways. But there was very little of that, if anything, 29, 30 years ago, for sure. I know, because I'm that old also, and I remember there weren't that many things back then. So besides your gifts, I mean, how did you both start investigating or even going and say, let's start doing this, and this to investigate?
Well, T-Realm is actually only about 13 years old. That's when we decided to start a team and name it. Each of us have had our own experiences outside of that. And my first experience was, I was outside when I was 13 years old and looked at my house, and we had this big bay window, and I saw a woman walk in front of the window inside my house. I was home alone. My parents were both at work, and it was up to me to, as terrified as I was, go in and find out who this woman is. It was mostly to protect my dogs, because my dogs were in there. But I'm like, I can see the cabinets through this woman. So I went in, and that was my first real trying to, who are you? Why are you here? That was my first investigation. My mom started out pretty much around that same way when she was young. She started out talking to the spirits that were in her house. And when I really realized that she was doing it was the 13 years ago. She had communicated with, I don't think either one of us have ever lived in a house or worked in a place that hasn't been haunted. And so we're attracted to it for some reason. And she would see spirits, talk to spirits, try to figure out why they're there. And I was the same way. When Two Realms started 13 years ago, that's when we really started working together. We started trying to figure out the research side of it. Like, why are these spirits here? Even though I was terrified of it. It took me a long time to get over a fear, but I was also extremely fascinated by it too. I pushed myself to do it. So when we started 13 years ago, we took a ghost walk in Salem, Massachusetts, and that's when we decided to start. Mm. And we had seen a spirit in Salem, and that was the critical moment where it was like, okay, we need to start doing this.
Do you always see them, or is it just hear them? So how does that work for you?
For me, it's I'll feel them first. I mostly will feel. That's the top thing. I can walk in a building and tell you if it's haunted. Once I'm a little more comfortable with it, I start to see. the place that I'm actually living in now, I live in an apartment, and we have visitors nonstop through this building. And they tend to let me see them. I very seldom hear, but I get, it's kind of like a text message that goes through my mind, where I'll see just the words that they're trying to tell me. Most of them show themselves as, of course, energy balls at first, and then I'll start to see the full manifestations.
Yeah, because most people that have the gift, it's either one or the other. Now, have you ever dealt with ones that, for whatever reason, they don't want to leave? I'm not saying that they're bad or anything, but you've helped some crossover, first of all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have.
I mean, how do you deal with the ones that, no matter what, they're just stubborn spirits, stubborn people? They just don't want to leave. Do you just leave them alone, or do you still try to tell them, well, you know what, it's time to move on?
I keep trying. I don't ever give up on them. Maybe that's just the day that they're too scared to move on. But I keep going. Every day I try. And, you know, if they're not bothering me and then choose to not go, then they can stay. If they're like waking me up at night or something, because we've had that happen. There's people coming through and waking me up in the middle of the night, touching me, and I've seen shadows here. And those, it's a whole different story. I have to force them to go by, you know, doing spiritual cleansings and things like that.
Yeah.
But with the nicer ones that just are maybe scared, they don't want to face the judgment on the other side, or they're too scared to cross that light because they don't know what's on the other side. Those, I just keep trying. And eventually they will go.
Yeah, you would have fun in the house I used to live in. It was like Grand Central Station. There was a portal there, according to, you know, psychics that went through. There was a portal there. Then down in the basement, there was somebody living there from the Civil War era. So there were all kinds of spirits in there. Yeah, I think you would have had fun for one day maybe, but then after that, it's like, okay, I need quiet in here, peace and quiet. And you would enjoy that house.
Yeah, I've been wanting to run after a couple of days.
Yeah. Ironically, no, I stayed there for like over 30 years, so apparently I had fun with them. But I was going to say, most investigators, they use the obvious tools, everything that you guys see on television. Both you and your mom, you guys have natural gifts, obviously. So do you use just your gifts on an investigation, or do you use REM pods and all the usual toys that we see on TV?
My mom is all about one camera, one recorder. She's very old school, very simple. Me, I'm a tech junkie. I love all the equipment. I love to play with it. I've even started trying to figure out how to design some stuff, because, you know, we come and go. Well, Tubram does a lot of stuff with children, with child spirits. Mm-hmm. So these look like alien things to these little kids. They're really scary. So I'm trying to figure out some things that are a little more friendly to kids, and trying to find an engineer that's willing to help me build it. They've got a few designs. So I'm a total equipment junkie. I would have it all if I could.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. There's some companies that are making teddy bears that have, you know, motion sensors built in, infrared cameras and microphones and all kinds of stuff, and little rubber balls or cars or dolls or something. So yeah, those companies, like you said, obviously they're catching up with the investigators that are going out there. It's no longer just the recorder and maybe a pad and that's it. No, yeah, it's getting more modern, which is cool, because more the bigger the toy, not bigger, but the more advanced the equipment. Stop saying toy. The equipment. I think the better the evidence will be, especially with the cameras. You know, they're going 4K, 8K, so clear now. So there's definitely no way to fake some of these things, at least unless you have some really good software. Everybody has a different answer for this. I'm sure both you and your mom do also. For both of you, what's your goal when you go on an investigation? What is the end game for investigations?
If the person that calls us in is having a problem, of course, it's to help them. They obviously are scared. I know what it's like to live with ghosts. So I mean, it can be a really scary experience to have that. The next point of it is to help that lost or stuck soul move on. I can't stand the thought of somebody being stuck here. So our goal is to help both the living and the dead. And so we want to give that person comfort. We want to give them validation in the fact that this is really happening to them. A lot of people will come to me and say that they feel crazy. It's like they're losing their minds because things are moving or doors are shutting, lights are cutting on. And the spirit is doing that to get attention.
Yeah.
So they want to get that message across. They need help in some way. So it's to help both. Each are evenly in need of help to us. I mean, for us, it's the spirit is, they've just lost the shell. They're just the living impaired, as I tend to call it. But they need just as much help as the living.
I like that. I think I'll start using that, living impaired. Kind of like that. I'm going to take a break in a little second, but let me have you, have both you and your mom see this. Everyone sees it differently. Ever since the first ghost show started showing up on television, of course, we know Zach, and you know he's been on, and he's a friend. Hello, Zach. The Zach and the Boys and all the other shows that have come on. How do you and your mom, how do you see those shows? Do you see them as helping the paranormal community get out there more, be seen more, be accepted more? Or is it more like, okay, you guys, this isn't what paranormal research is about. I mean, how do you guys see those TV shows?
I see them as entertainment, but I see them as a beneficial entertainment. Like, I know one of the ways I started finding that fascination was watching these ghost TV programs that were way back when I was a kid. I can't even remember what the first one was called. It's been so long, but I find them to be beneficial. They are getting people to accept that this stuff is really happening. They're getting people to acknowledge the fact that, you know, people that have these things going on, when we talk about them, aren't crazy. We're not making this stuff up. This is actually legitimately happening. I think some of them are good for research. Some of them are, you know, more just for entertainment and fun.
Yeah.
But I have a few that I really enjoy, that I kind of trust, but they still have an element of entertainment to each one of them.
Yeah, I mean, having produced a few of my, you know, again, then it's not the investigators. I can say that. I'll give you a little look behind the curtain, everybody. It's not really the investigators. It's the network that says, you know, you got to give us a little entertainment because, again, ratings, ratings, ratings. We want people to watch and we want people to talk about it on social media. So that's part of the reason why you see some of the, I'll say, dramatic, over-dramatic sometimes parts in some of these shows is because the network asks for it. It's not the investigator. The investigators, when they go out there, believe me, the ones that I've done television shows with, they are extremely serious. They take it very, very serious, and it's not till later that we're like, oh yeah, we got to do the funny parts, as they call them. So yeah, it's not always the investigators, it's the network, is what I'm saying, that, you know, ask for those, the funny parts. So like I said, we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna continue. We're gonna wrap up right after this. We'll talk about we haven't talked to too many investigators in the last year. But last year, like everything else, I think investigating also changed in the age of lockdowns and social distancing. Has it been affected? Has paranormal research and ghost hunting, has that been affected? We'll talk about that in just a second.
Paranormal Perception. We'll be right back. What a year we just went through. With a new year comes renewed hope and a new creative spark. 2021 brings with it an extra need to get back to normal. If that means something creative for you, let 22 Creations help you make it a reality. Remember that great audio drama series you discovered during the quarantine? You've had your own ideas for one, but you think you might need millions of dollars worth of equipment to create it. No, not really. We can help you from start to finish, from planning to casting to producing. New year, new you. Is it time to create or to update your acting reel or your voice demo? Well, just leave it to us and we'll produce one for you that'll stand out from the rest. 22 Creations can also provide motion graphics, animation, film sound mixes, sound design for your film or TV show, and a lot more. I mean, we're called multimedia for a reason. From now until the end of March, take advantage of our 2021 sales event, where every service is half off, or we can negotiate with you to meet your available budget. Why are you still thinking about it? Open up a new tab and head to 22creations.media to learn more and to get started on making your new you, your creative you, a reality in 2021. Too sudden? Keep listening. It gets easier and clearer from here. Paranormal Perception. It does. Going to wrap it up now, talking to Sabrina from Terrain Paranormal. I have a link to everything, mainly their YouTube, their Instagram page. You can find out everything, watch everything on there. So, Sabrina, to wrap up, like I said, we just went through a, we'll say, interesting year in 2020. everything, every type of industry, from entertainment to just the mail, everything, it was whether you caught the virus or not. Economically, I think every single person was affected. The lockdowns, the social distancing, the mask wearing, everything. So this industry, paranormal research, ghost hunting, from what you guys have done, if you did anything in 2020 and moving forward now into 2021 and beyond, do you see paranormal investigating? Do you see it changing in any way because of the lockdowns and the mask wearings and everything?
I think it'll be a little harder. I think, especially with the mask wearing, it's going to muffle us out a lot. EVPs are going to be harder to do. But I don't see it changing that much. I mean, typically we do a lot of private investigations, at least for us we do. So I don't think that's going to change too much for us. I think based on public investigations, things like that, it's going to change. It's going to be limited. And that really is kind of sucky for the buildings because they depend on that money.
Yeah.
I think where people are going to get hurt is the people that own these historical buildings and these locations. And with residential kind of stuff, I think it'll be harder because people are going to be scared that they're going to catch COVID, and it's going to be more dangerous to go into someone's home. I know we're limiting it unless it's a special case. And especially if there's like a child or somebody's being harmed, then we will chance it and we'll go in. But I think for the most part, it's going to be a little different. It's going to be interesting to see how things happen. I hope the locations don't get hurt too bad in it, because they're the ones that are really going to struggle.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't think that it's not just residentials. It a lot of these old places, they're museums. That's how they make their living. And with everything shut down, yeah, exactly. Like you said, they're not making any income because nobody's allowed in there. So yeah, that's what I was saying. That's how they'll suffer, and all of us have been suffering through that. You would think also, I mean, online retailers, you would assume that they were ready more than every other business to go through something like what we went through last year, but they suffered also. So with them, does something that was already isolated, you know, like you said, when you do paranormal researching, it's usually a smaller group. It's not, you know, 300 people, 500 people investigating all in one location. That would be chaos, first of all. But because it was already small, you would think it would be ready. Now, obviously, everything went virtual. Everybody started Zooming and doing everything online. We have the TV shows. I know we just talked about them a second ago. Can investigations, I'm talking about for like residential or even the historical, the older places, could they be researched virtually, like have the owner walk through with a Zoom? I don't think it would be the same. I mean, you as a researcher, how would you see that?
I was actually talking to that to my mom earlier about that. I think it would actually be interesting to, you know, have a video chat with somebody, with the homeowner, and they walk through. Maybe we ask the questions or they ask the questions. We guide them through it to see what happens and teach them how virtually. I think that would be an interesting thing to try.
Could your gifts, both of you, can it reach through the Zoom or the phone?
There are times I can read photos. I don't know if I could remotely do a psychic reading on a home. I know my mom couldn't. She wouldn't allow herself. But I do know a lot of psychics that can.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, actually, I know a few that were actually doing that. They weren't investigating homes. They were doing virtual Zoom cleanses through the Zooms, through Skype. So I guess they can. They could do it. So I was just curious, like, could it be done? Could you investigate a location, you know, virtually the way everything's been happening all last year? So it would be, I think it would be interesting to try that. I mean, for you guys to try it, see what it feels like.
Yeah, I'd be willing to try it. I think it would be kind of cool to see what it would be like to, I mean, and it would help the homeowner learn.
Yeah.
It would help even if it's a business or a historical location, it would help them learn how to deal with within their home.
Yeah, yeah, because a lot of them, that's the reason why they call you and your mom and other investigators, because it's help. I don't like you were saying earlier, I don't know what to do. I can't sleep and there's too much stuff going on. So yeah, that definitely would help. Would help them get over their fear. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys did any. I think I saw on the YouTube or on your Instagram. I saw that you guys held an event. But have you attended events or done it, organizing any events? Have you done? Did you do any of that last year? And do you plan on doing it and doing any this year?
Well, we had the event that you saw. It was the Lafayette Hotel in Marietta, Ohio. We had planned that long before COVID hit, and it was actually planned for April of 2020. And we had to postpone it because they shut the hotel down. So we postponed it to September of 2020. And it was just a group of seven of us that went and did it. And we kept it very reserved, away from everybody. Everything was pretty low key. And we got some really great evidence. We always do when we go there. What we have coming up, though, and this is actually the first time I'm going to say this and to anyone publicly, is we're actually going to Gettysburg in March for an entire weekend. There'd be 10 of us, and we're going to do a lot of investigating there for an entire weekend.
I know for a fact, I'm sure you know this also, Gettysburg is very, very, very active.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be doing the orphanage, the Jenny Wade House, parts of the battlefield. We'll be doing an entire weekend of investigation in Gettysburg.
Are you going to keep this private, or is it going to be for the YouTube channel where you put some of the investigations up there?
We'll video some of them, put them on YouTube. We're going to do a few lives, maybe on Instagram and our Facebook page.
Okay.
But for the most part, it'll be filming and then loading.
Well, see, actually, in a way, you're kind of experimenting what we talked about a second ago, doing the live. I'm assuming you go YouTube or Instagram live is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of, in a way, what I was talking about, the virtual investigation. So there's kind of an experiment on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be inviting the people that are on our group and our Facebook and Instagram stuff to come in and kind of help us out. If they see anything, they hear anything, they feel anything, to help us out with that investigation. So it's kind of a virtual investigation with us being there live.
Yeah. And anybody thinking like, well, it's not the same. Well, it could be. I mean, again, use your imagination, you know, get in the dark room, turn on your computer, turn off the lights, and use headphones, and it'll look like you're actually there, even though you're actually not. So try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, have fun with it.
They might actually get it.
Yeah. So those are, I'm assuming you're going to have all the info on the Instagram page for all that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have all that up. We've had this plan for quite a while, and this is actually the first time I'm announcing it publicly.
Breaking news.
Every spot sold.
Yeah. And when, what's the day for it?
We'll be there on the 13th and the 14th of March.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm in California, as you probably hear in the news. California, we can barely breathe over here, but everywhere else seems to be doing a little better than us. So maybe it'll be okay by then to do more things.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm going stir crazy. Yeah. And during this lockdown, the only thing I've managed to do during this lockdown is you run to Realm and write and start writing my book. Mm. I'm writing a book about my experiences in Two Realm.
Okay. So yeah, a lot of breaking news on the show today. So yeah. I mean, are you gonna self-publish it or are you gonna go through a publisher?
I'm gonna try to get through a publisher first, and if that doesn't work out, then I'm gonna self-publish it.
Okay. Well, I won't tell you here, but we'll keep. I'm actually friends with a few book publishers and some independent ones, and so if you need any help, I can put you in touch with the right people to do. And they specialize in supernatural paranormal books. So if you need any help, we can talk about that for sure.
All right, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So again, it's Sabrina Two Realm Paranormal is the group, the mom and daughter team. Both the YouTube, the Instagram, I have linked up on the show description. You guys click on there and you'll see what's on there already and what's coming up hopefully from Gettysburg. Hope you get a lot of stuff when you're out there. So Sabrina, thanks a lot for coming on. You're welcome back on the show anytime.
All right, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure speaking to you. And everybody else, I'm not sure really what we're going to talk about next week, but keep following us on our social media and you'll find out. Talk to you then. And that was Paranormal Perception. The facts and opinions heard on this episode are those of the guest and host of Paranormal Perception. If they make you uncomfortable or cause you to question your outlook on life, good, you're waking up. Continue that journey on the show's official website, paranormalperception.show. Contact Henry with questions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, henry@paranormalperception.show. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel.